Hey everyone. A few weeks ago, we talked about the 90-day rule, Steve Harvey, and we got a male's perspective. I've gotten a few emails about some of the feedback that he gave, and I just want to say that I in no way hold anyone's tongue. If they come on the show, that's an open forum for everyone to speak. But I appreciate the feedback that I did get, and I will keep it in mind moving forward. But when it comes to the 90-day rule, from the polls that I've taken in person, there are a lot of opinions, and I thought it was important to get more than just my opinion as a woman and bring things into perspective as a whole. So we do have two guests on the show that will be joining us. Thank you for coming back for episode 7, the 90-day wait. This is Things I Can't Drink About. Okay, so like I said, we do have two guests on the show. We have Shan, who did our episode about mental health, our very first one. So welcome back.
Thank you.
And we have a new guest. Her name is Shar, and she is joining us for this conversation. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Shar White. I am cook for a living. I cater, do meal prep, I'm in culinary school, the whole shebang. And that's about it. I reside in Norfolk, Virginia, and that's it. I'm excited to be on. Thank you for inviting me on. Interesting topic, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for coming. So a couple of weeks ago, I had Mark on the show. He talked about Steve Harvey and the 90-day rule and whether or not you should commit to it. And I've gotten so many different opinions about this. And I spoke a lot about my general opinion when it comes to the dating guru. Okay, so my first question, and I guess I will start with you, Shan. When we talk about relationship experts, dating experts, what is it that you feel actually qualifies someone, regardless of who they are, famous or not famous, to actually be, I guess, a dating or relationship expert?
For me, I think it's the number one thing is experience. And I say that because you can research a topic, get all this information, but I think until you actually experience and you go through it, like, then you're really not much of an expert because you have to live that research. So for me, it's experience.
Okay. What about you?
She pretty much said the same thing I was thinking. Because I believe, like, a lot of people that are, like, therapists or this and that, sometimes they, you know, they have the degrees, they know the scientific reasons why something may work or not work, but a lot of them may not even be in thriving relationships, so they personally haven't even experienced what they're trying to, like, teach someone to experience in a sense. So, as she said, I think the best experts, or not, you know, not even one, anyone is really an expert, it's just that you might can get the best advice for someone who has been in a relationship for years, has experienced all these different things with someone, and they're probably the best person that you can get advice from, in my opinion.
Okay. So I agree and disagree. And it's going to roll into the next question. So I agree and disagree because I think, yes, experience is the best teacher, right? Like, somebody who's been there and done it. Like, I literally was talking to someone, you know, I found myself in a bad situation, and recently I was talking to a friend who's in a similar situation, and I'm, you know, talking to her and trying to, I guess, give her advice, and it came to the point where I was like, look, I've been here. I know exactly how you feel, right? Like, I don't know exactly how you feel, but I've literally went through this situation, and I'm telling you, like, what you're stressing about right now is nothing. And that's great that I was able to do that. However, I also feel like experience can make you jaded, right? So my advice to her could come from my place of pain, hurt, suffering, or whatever. And I also don't think that all experience is good experience. And so when I think about, like, for example, Steve Harvey is, like, the person that I kind of, like, pull this from. And, you know, he's been divorced twice. Not amicable divorces, right? Like, he, you know, he's saying the 90-day wait, but in his, also in the book, he basically says, like, he didn't wait 90 days for his current wife. And I think, like, when you think about it, like, you know, not amicable divorces, not even amicable after the divorce, like, after the hurt and pain or whatever and suffering is gone, like, you still have, like, an ex-wife who's, like, really bitter. So who knows what the real story is? We just know what was put in blogs and on YouTube. Is that, like, the experience that you would want to take advice from? I guess that's what I'm getting at.
I think it just depends on what you need advice on. Like, she... It just depends on the topic. Her, and you have to, and with advice, you have to take from it what you feel can work for your situation also. You can't just take someone's advice verbatim and be like, okay, that's exactly what I'm going to do. You kind of have to figure out what's going to work for your that situation also. But she may very well have some pieces of something that happened to her that could work for someone, even though she may still be a little bit bitter or angry. She might have had a situation going on that could help someone though. So it just depends on the, I think it just depends on the situation that you're going through.
If right. Her, I agree.
Help or not.
Cause like
I
you
agree.
Said, someone
and
else.
I think also, I'm sorry.
Oh, you can go ahead.
No, I actually was gonna switch gears as far as speaking about someone like Steve Harvey being an expert in how he's had the two divorces that were not amicable. But you have to look at, I still think he, in a sense, still is a good teacher, could be someone that you can get advice from, because not everybody's relationship, not all experiences is smooth sailing. For instance, my relationship, I could be bitter. I could be angry about things that I endured during my marriage, but that doesn't mean that I can't have a clear head and give someone advice because my experience may have been bad. And then my bad experience could help someone else not make that same mistake, if that makes sense.
Well, I think sometimes, too, you have a bad experience when you're able to, like, look at it in a, you know, retrospective way, and you have more clarity over it, so you can possibly get someone an opinion or advice from, like, a clear head, where it's like, I would have maybe done it this way, you know, and it kind of could maybe save them from the hurt and the pain, or even save their situation and make it be a better situation also, because you're able to look back at it and, like, you know, I probably would have did X, Y, and Z a little differently and give them that advice also.
Right.
I think, I definitely think people who have experience can provide insight from a perspective that someone who's never been there or done it can't. However, me being who I am, so, like, I talk to my grandmother every week. I get advice from her every week. Some of it I take, some of it I throw away. So I'm definitely for experience. However, when I'm going to someone that I guess is referring to themselves or has placed themselves in a place where they're giving blanketed advice, you know, writing books to me, like, that's blanketed advice. Like, I'm going to give this to everybody and it should work for, like, majority of you, right? I want to know that some of this is more than just your opinion, especially when you start writing, like, more than one book, or you're doing TV shows, or you're doing speaking engagements. Like, I think there's a difference between, like, I'm going to share my experience, I'm going to share where I'm coming from, and, like, I want to tell you what it is that you should be doing. And mm-hmm. for me, when you go to the, you're telling me what I should be doing, I also need to see, like, some fundamental facts, research, basics, experts, somebody, who can add to that this isn't, like, your experience actually speaks to some form of truth, right? Because your experience is your experience. It doesn't mean that that blanketed advice that you're giving is effective. Like, and I think for me, that's my issue is, at what point do we go from just, this is what I think and this is what you should be doing? And I've spoken to therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, looked at XYZ research done at whatever university or research group, and this is what should, this is why I'm saying these things, because these things have been shown to be effective. And I think that is where my, I don't have a problem with the fact that you've been divorced like 80 million times or whatever. Like, hey, maybe you learn something new in each divorce. I don't know. But when we're on book two and I can't find your basic research qualifications or anything, anybody, not one quote, like, I think for me, that's where I'm like, okay, guy. And it's not just him.
Right.
It's just in general, that's when I'm really like, what are we really talking about right now?
Right. I definitely agree. And that's why and part of my initial response was, in addition to the research, the experience, because that is very important to have the research under your belt as well. Because like you said, I can tell you this all day long, but is it factual? Is it the correct thing? Is it the right thing to tell you? So research, I agree with you, is very important.
This brings me to, so before we even get into 90 days, like, do either one of you believe that abstaining from sex, whether that's in general or for a specified period of time, makes a good move when it comes to establishing a better relationship?
I just think in general, in 90 days, it seems that you, whether you, I guess, abstain from having sex or if you decide to, I just think that that time is just, like, very, like, important because you usually generally start to come out of your, you know, your shells, and you, the person's flaws might start to come through, yours might start to come through. So you really figure out within that 90 days if you can even, like, I guess, be together and consider something serious to me. But honestly, I don't really think waiting or not waiting affects that or not. You just really, I just think in 90 days you're going to figure out if you like a person or not, truly. And that's just kind of like my blanketed, I guess, opinion on it.
Mm-hmm. I think abstinence is important aside from the 90 days because it allows you to really clear your head, search within yourself on what you want from the other person, what you want to give of yourself to the other person. So in that respect, I think abstinence is a good thing, and it does help maybe in a way to make better judgments when you're entering the dating scene or relationship with someone. So I think it's an important aspect.
So in essence, both of you believe that 90-day rule can be an effective tool to establishing a better relationship.
I don't agree. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, I guess. Like, I don't think you absolutely mm-hmm. have to wait, but I do feel like in my experience with dating, in that first, you know, 90 days, 3 months or whatnot, I figure out if I really like the person, if something that person might do really gets on my nerves. Like, I just feel like in that sense, you figure it out. And sometimes, I mean, you may have already had, you know, sex with that person, and you're like, oh, my God, I really don't. Like, the person might just start to act differently, and this thing, you're like, okay, I really don't like this person. So you kind of feel like, okay, I should have waited. But I think they might have come out whether you had, sex with the person or not. That's kind of like where I'm at with it.
Right, and I'm in the middle as well. I'm not a pro 90 day, and I'm not, you know, against someone who doesn't wait 90 days. I think it just depends on the situation, just depends on the flow of things with the person. And I mean, I'm just going to be blunt. Sometimes you have a strong sexual chemistry with someone, and 90 days is out the window. Heck, a week, 2 weeks is out of the window. It just all depends.
Yeah, Yeah, that's definitely true. So what I talked about was, and I'm going to actually pull some stuff that I got off of a couple of websites. So let me just start off by saying that, number one, I have looked for research whether or not being abstinent or celibate in a relationship, before a relationship or whatever, makes a better relationship, right? Like, it allows you to get to know all the things that they tell you. There's no research at all, except from Brigham Young University. So if you're not familiar with who that is, they are connected to the Church of Latter-day Saints. So they're Mormons. And okay. There are some fundamental problems with the research. Like, there's tons of research on the research that points out problems, how the research was done, who they polled, how effective it was, if it really was a blind study, or if they pulled information from people from the actual church to support the idea that waiting until sex, because that's the only study that's been completed that says waiting until sex actually allows for a better, healthier, happier relationship. There is research as to whether or not, as Americans, we actually follow abstinence. And the truth of the matter is 94% of Americans are having sex, like, whether they're married or not. And 98% of Americans are having sex, whether they're married or not. And 94% of people had sex before they were married. So the thing about it is that, like, we're clearly a sexual society, and there's no research, or there's no proof that waiting is going to up your chances of finding someone. That's not to say that you should just, like, jump in bed. It's just that there isn't any research to support this 90-day rule. So a couple of questions that I had about the 90-day rule. This is just me. Where did 90 days come from? Like, that was who decided on 12 weeks, 3 months, 90 days? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, where the actual idea that 3 months, a quarter of a year, is the best way to set up a relationship. I don't have an issue with it being 90 days. I just don't understand where this number was pulled from. And it's not actually suggested.
Talking about the Ford plant and how you know, it's 90 days before benefits or something kick in for them to give you a trial run to see if they want to keep you or something?
Well, I think it was already kind of like in the air before he even – I think I remember hearing it even before then, though. So it may not even be original to him. He may have heard it too, but he tied it into the Ford. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might not even be like an original idea from him. Don't quote me on it, people. I'm just saying, because I think I remember it also people saying that before his book came out and all that as well. So, but that is a good food for thought. Like, where did it come from?
I mean, it is. But comparing it to that analogy, now that I said that about him working at the Ford plant, when you compare it to that analogy, I can put on the best face possible for 90 days, and then after this 90 days, just show you my true colors. So, I mean, in that respect, and using that analogy, I don't agree with it.
I'm telling you, the girl, those colors coming out before 90 days, though. I'm
yeah,
I don't know. Every day 64, they're like, there it goes.
There you go.
True.
I don't know. So
there you go.
Here's the thing. Like, as much as I may disagree with a lot of the things that Mark said, one of the things that he said is, what stops me from saying I'll wait to have sex with you and just go out and do what I want to do with other people, so I can give you my best self, because I'm giving the real me to whoever else around the corner that you don't know about, because we're just dating, right? So I've kind of put you into a friend category and preserved you in a little box until I get around to having sex with you, and then I decide what it is that I want to do with you. And I mean, we're all grown, like, you know, you're not seeing somebody all the time. We all have children. We all have lives and careers and other things going on, so... Like, what's stopping someone from like, basically doing that?
I guess, like, for me,
the things you listed, like, if I have one person and things are going well with that person and it's a good energy and things seem mutual and, you know, I don't have any questions about where things are going and, you know, this and that. I mean, that's, like, where I'm at now in my life. Because I am busy building a career and I have a kid and this and that. So I don't have time to really date multiple people, I feel like. But in the past, I mean, I've juggled a few people. I will be honest and say that. Like, but at that same time, the people I probably was dating were probably more on the mindset I was, where it was like, okay, we're probably not really looking for anything serious. We just hanging out, you know. But I think...
Right.
I think we all have that. We all kind of pick that up when we first meet someone. Either we choose to ignore it, or either we sometimes, you know, have this hope that it will become something more serious. But I think we all kind of know when we first meet someone what's up. It's kind of unspoken sometimes. It's like, okay, either we just going to be, you know, hooking up, or we really both on the same page and looking to have something serious, you know, the next, you know, few months or something. So that's kind of like where I'm at, and what kind of stops me from not dating someone else, why I'm seeing someone else. It's just kind of like I'm in a place in my life now where I'm, you know, I'm more focused, I guess, more singular focused. So.
Right. And, I mean, he made a good point. Like, you know, we could be dating and we have this 90-day rule implemented and the guy's out doing his own thing with other people. But I think if we're waiting 90 days, and you are juggling other people, or if he's juggling other people, then your attention's being spread very thin.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not even take that 90 days to say, okay, you know, you're draining me, or this is not working, you know, the chemistry's off. Because when you're spreading yourself thin between different people, whether you're sleeping with them or not, you're not giving 100% of yourself to whomever you're supposed to be, you know, serious with or exclusively dating, trying to find out if something's going to come of it. So I think way before 90 days, you know, things may reveal themselves that, okay, this is just not going to work. So they can go on and continue whatever they're doing.
Okay. So I'm going to read you the same thing that I read. So some of the reasons why I went on, there's this website called lovepinky.com. And it says that here's a couple of reasons why this will work, right? It weeds out the wrong ones, which we've already addressed. It allows you to get to know each other. It allows you to separate truth from trick. It keeps you healthier. You know, you're not out here catching STIs. You don't get too attached. The weight makes it more exciting. It allows you to prepare. Now, what it is allowing you to prepare for, I'm not really sure. Because I think at 90 days at that point, I think we all know what's going on. But those are the reasons why it was listed as to why waiting for whatever period of time is going to be a more effective way to start a relationship.
To add to that list, the only thing that I can think of that was not listed to what you just read is just being able to walk away with a sense of dignity.
Yeah.
Potentially. If something does not work out, or things, you know, take a turn from what I initially thought was going to happen with this person, I can walk away and, as the young people say, I don't have another body I've added, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can walk away with a sense of dignity. I didn't open up and become vulnerable sexually with this person, so I'm okay, you know?
Yeah. As I say, there's no attachment. So, or you feel, I think sometimes if we have slept with the person and then, like, they start to, you know, show face or show the other side of their face, it's kind of like, oh, I think sometimes we may stick around a little bit longer because we have slept with them already. But I think if, like she's saying, if we haven't slept with them, it's kind of just easier just to cut ties and be like, oh, you know, I guess I was, you know, I could just walk away and not have to worry about, now I guess it's a feeling of, maybe, is it guilt or something? I don't know if that's the correct
right.
word, but
mm-hmm.
we just have like a feeling of like, I already, you know, like I slept with them, so maybe I should try to make it work out or something like that. But if you haven't, it's just kind of easy just to be like, okay, well, peace out. We try, it didn't work. So, yeah, I kind of agree with that as well.
Yeah, I can see these things. I think that it is a lot easier to I don't know. I can see these things and then I can't see these things because I think everything mm-hmm. is dependent upon the person. So I'm going to read you the list of why this 90-day rule doesn't work. And there's actually two. One is from datingright.com and the other part is from lovepinky.com. But it pretty much says the same thing in general. So the 90-day rule trivializes sex. It assumes that men are just into sex and encourages double standards in dating and relationships. It treats sex as a reward, sets up game playing. It assumes that it's slutty, give up the cookie. And yeah, so it pretty much says the same thing. Like it's some form of currency and you want to play games from the beginning. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I think it is weird. Like, I mean, if you all have seen the movie Think Like a Man, I'm sure we probably all have. Like how she marked the calendar. I just think it was too literal, maybe. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like it was just too. So I get where like the prize is coming in. It's like, oh, when we get this, if he makes it to this 90 days, like he'll get the prize. And not saying this. I mean, we are, as women, we are, you know, we are a gift and, you know, this and that. Not saying that I'm taking that factor away, but at the same time, it is a little, like, icky to be, like you know, treating yourself, I guess, like a prize. I'd rather be, I don't know. So I kind of get what they're saying at that point, too, as far as it is kind of, what do you think, Shan, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I agree in a sense that it can be treated like a game, and I mean, because I've dated and, you know, I've brought it up, especially when the book first came out, and I brought it up to the person, and they're like, we are adults, you know, we don't have to wait 90 days. I mean, I've not waited 90 days and it didn't work out. I've not waited 90 days and it did work out. So it just all depends on the person and, you know, I think timing.
Yeah, their motive.
Factor. Yeah, I mean, just a lot of things that can play into it.
I think that in the beginning, it is, I'm trying to figure out, like, at what point do you say, we're going to wait 90 days? And I'm not opposed to anybody who's waiting 90 days. But here's the thing. There are a subset of women who like sex just as much as men, and they are more mm-hmm. aggressive about it than the man, right? And they're not emotionally attached to a man just because they had sex with him. And that's right. Okay. Sometimes you just want to have sex. And whether or not it turns into a relationship is irrelevant. And I feel like that gets lost in this concept. I think what we really should be addressing is that if you are actively having sex with men very early on and you're getting attached to them and it's clearly not leading that way, then there's some other issues that you have going on that should be addressed that have absolutely mm-hmm. nothing to do with whether you wait 90 days or not.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Totally agree.
You open up a whole nother can of worms with that.
That's just, and you know, and it's sometimes like you start to feel like, as a woman who is very comfortable in her own sexuality, it makes me feel like something's wrong with me, right? I go to mm-hmm. therapy. I talk to my therapist all the time. Shout out Dr. Thorne. There's nothing wrong with me wanting sex, right? There's nothing wrong with me saying I'm okay with doing this as long as I'm respecting my body, right? Like using mm-hmm. protection, mm-hmm. being clear about my boundaries, not putting myself in situations that I'm clearly uncomfortable with. And then if I am going to go and meet someone or whatever, like I know anytime, you know, I do a lot of online dating, I don't get out that much. Like, I'm going to tell you where I'm at. Oh, this is the address. I'm sending it somewhere, and I'm pinging it somewhere, and I know where the car is. I'm, like, sending the driver, like, the license plate to somebody and what type of car it is. Like, you know, not because I fear for my life, but that's just the world we live in. But I'm still trying to be smart about the decisions that I'm making, right? Like,
right.
I think you – and I'm a little extreme. I'm an extremist, but – I think there's a point where you have to take some personal accountability, and it's not always about some man out here that's trying to break your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Well, right. That taps into the whole double standard, too, that a woman has to, like you said, I think, did that list say something about that, double standards or something also? The one about the, I just think it creates, like you said, it creates where, like you said, some women can't be, you know they are self sexually and know that and not get attached. It's kind of almost saying that all women are going to get attached, all women are going to want something. So I kind of get what you're saying with that as well. Some women, like I said, at one point in my life, I wasn't looking to get attached. I wasn't looking, you know, you get what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, so I said, when you meet someone, you kind of can feed off that energy of what they're looking for, or what they're not looking for. And like you said, if a woman is getting to, if she's always falling for those type of men who aren't looking attached, but she's getting attached, like you said, something's wrong with the picture, and she needs to probably, like, reevaluate herself and what she's really looking for, and what is that coming from if she keeps choosing the men who are not looking attached as well. So, but she is.
Right.
So
I think there's such a big stigma towards women knowing themselves sexually and being comfortable with who they are sexually and wanting to explore their sexuality. It is such a big stigma placed on us in society. We're supposed to, you know, save ourselves from marriage. We're supposed to marry and, you know, be happy in marriage and have a family. If we sleep around, there's, like, all these labels that we have to wear. It's ridiculous. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the woman who does not want to be attached, who explores sexually, as long as, like you said, Angelique, she is, you know, wise in her decision making. She's cautious, she's careful. But if that's something that she wants to explore, I don't see anything wrong with it.
So, how does, what do you think about the concept that, what would you feel if a man told you that he was going to not have sex with you for 90 days because that's just the standard that he, do you feel like it would be taken differently because a man is saying we're not going to have sex for 3 months?
I think it would be kind of exciting. Like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm usually not the one to initiate anyway. So like if, and it's not because I'm not, I don't find me to be like a super submissive woman or anything like that. It's just, I guess that's my lady part of me. Like, I just don't, you know, I won't initiate the first, you know, time and this and that anyway. So he says he wants to wait 90 days. I would be all for it. I would be intrigued. Like, okay, let's try it. Let's do it.
I agree.
And I think,
I would be.
And I think a lot of times if the man says it too, it may actually follow. It might actually go through. Not saying that our word is not as powerful and this and that, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I think it will actually. I would be down for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would. We are connecting in other areas besides physically.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have an issue with that.
So, again, I'm all for whatever it is that you prefer, like sexually in the bedroom. I'm not opposed to it at all. I think that if a man told me that he wanted to wait 90 days, honestly, I would be cool with it. But then I would want to know, like, what happened? Like to me, when you just, like, put out, we're going to wait 90 days. So you're telling me that, one, you are sexually active, right? But I need to, and it's not that I need to know why, But now I'm curious as to why we're waiting to have sex. Like, what has happened in your mindset, in your, like, experience that makes you feel that I just want sex from you as a priority and everything else about you is secondary?
But that may not even be his where he's coming from. It could be that he could be just, you know, like where this came from with women thinking like, okay, because we have had sex that it may not, you know, it may not work out or this and that. I guess maybe it could be like he wants to have that trial period to see if it is going to work out. I don't think it's more of, it could be not more of like he just thinks that it's going to just be about sex. Does that make sense?
He might just want to see. Makes sense.
Yeah,
but I guess
it can be about timing.
No. Again, I have dealt with people that we haven't done anything together ever, or we just haven't done anything for extended periods of time. I just think that, I guess, when I'm trying to visualize like how this conversation runs and the thoughts that someone else thinks, especially if you're not good at verbalizing, like, I don't want to rush into anything. You know, I just feel like I want to take my time. I'm not trying to be sexually active. You know, I feel like that time will come when it's appropriate. I think if you had that conversation with me, but if you tell me, like you said, the literal 90 days, instead of saying, I want to make sure that when we finally get to the bedroom, boom, that it's an appropriate emotional, mental, physical thing. It's not just, I physically mm-hmm. want to have sex with you and I'm not emotionally attached to you. Like, I want to be attached to you in these other areas first. But if you tell me 90 specific days, like, that's...
Because you can hit that point before 90 days. You get what I'm saying? So I get what you're saying with that,
right,
too. I don't think 90 days is the magic number. You can hit that. Every relationship and every person hits a certain point at different time periods. So I don't think it has to be 90 days like you. But 90 days, it's just like I said in the movie where she literally was, like, marking the dates. It just seems so... I don't know what word I'm looking for. It just seems so, like, really? You marking the days to 90 days?
I don't see me waiting 90 specific days, right? Because we could be at, like, day 100, and I'm still like, yeah, but you're still a little sketchy, bruh. Like,
right.
I still don't know enough about you. Like, we hang out, and we have a good time, but you're more like a friend, and I'm not feeling you
right
in that way because there's not that emotional connection. But we can hit day 72, and it's like things are about to happen, and I'm okay with it happening. And
yep.
I feel like we're on the same page. I'm not saying I'm opposed to a man telling me he wants to wait. Like, that's what you want to do. Like, it is what it is. It's your body, it's not mine, and I'm going to respect it. I think when you start giving out, like, specific days, like we're on a countdown, I feel like I'm back in training again or something. And, like, now I'm, like, 89 days in a wake-up, and then I'm going to get the D. Like, I don't want to. You know, like, I don't want to feel like that. And I think,
right,
you know, I guess my point is like, why? What is the why? Why are you doing this? Is it really about you, or is it because somebody told you to do it? Like,
I think too, not to cut you off, but I think too is the generation, the time we're in too, where, you know, everyone's not trying to get emotionally attached. Everyone's just trying to, like, get in, get out without, no one wants to feel hurt or disappointment. Like, a girlfriend and I, we always talk, and we think that the rawest times we had were like when we were in high school, and you had, you know, you didn't know what to expect. You just kind of went all in with the person. And I think just because of growth and, you know, things we've experienced, we try to protect ourselves from getting hurt and get disappointed again. So I think it kind of ties in all with that too, in the times that we're in. And even some of the younger people, I don't know, maybe the way they were raised, maybe they got hurt by a parent or, you know, this and that. Even they are trying to, like, protect themselves from hurt, from love, from hurt, from disappointment. It all kind of, like, boils down to those things to me, too.
That brings up a question. Do you think that 90 days in today's society where having sex on the first date is no longer always seen as taboo, right? Like, that's the world that we live in. I meet you, there's sexual chemistry. Let's just go ahead and knock it out the park. And see if we could even want to do this again before we even go further. Like, do you feel that this is kind of archaic?
What, archaic as far as, like, doing it on the first date?
No, waiting 90 days.
I did have, when I told someone I was doing this tonight, it was a male, and I was, you know, we was going through the different questions. He did mention that some people like to test the, I forgot what word he used, test the, I can't remember that word, he test the package maybe, that's what he said, package, before they decide to purchase or something like that in the sense. So I kind of think so. I think someone likes to know, almost feel like, in 90 days, you kind of can know if you want to, like, maybe even settle down with the person if that makes, or have a serious, go into a serious relationship with the person. So I think some do think, okay, let's, like you said, let's just get it out of the way. Let's see. And then, you know, maybe in the 90 days or even 90 to, you know, 6 months or whatever, we'll know if we're going to, like, be in a relationship or not. I think some people have that mindset also.
Right, yeah, I agree. I agree that it's archaic to wait 90 days. But then again, what keeps coming back to me is the stigma. If you not necessarily wait in 90 days, but dating and then you, you know, have sexual chemistry with a couple people and then a few months later you're dating somebody else, there may be some sexual chemistry there. And not saying that you're emotionally attached to the person, but there's still that stigma.
I think it's all about how you carry yourself. And maybe this is just me. Like, I've known men and women who have been extremely sexually active. And there are people that I know that you don't know about their sexual history until they open their mouth and tell you. And then there are people who, like, everyone talks about them because that's just how they carry themselves. But so I think it's all about how you carry yourself.
Yeah, because it is a very private and personal thing. It's very, you know, but like you said, it does amazing when people know, like you said, those people where everyone knows what they're doing. It's like, how does everyone know what you're doing? Is it just the people they choose to do it with, or is it just messy with it? And then it's those people who people don't really have any idea what they have going on. And so that is a really good factor. I always have kind of wondered, like, how do everyone know who she's, that she's with Tom, you know, Dick and Harry, whatever the saying goes. But it's very personal, and I think, like you said, you should carry your way in a sense where not everyone knows what you have going on in a sense, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is what I'm for. I'm for people that are sexually active, that protect themselves, and know who they are. If you know you really like a guy, once you have sex with him, you're going to want to be with him. You're going to want to wake up to him, whatever the case may be. Like, there's absolutely, and I don't want to say just a guy. I'll say a person, because it's men that I know, too, that become very attached to women once they are sexually active. I think that you should have that conversation up front. This is what it is that I want. Because, yeah, there are some really garbage people out there that you're going to tell them what you want. They're going to tell you what they think you want to hear, and they're still going to hurt your feelings. So to those people, they're going to hurt your feelings regardless because they're going to want what they want. They're going to hurt your feelings because they're going to drop you like a bad habit because you're not giving them that, or they're going to hurt your feelings after you give them what they want. But for the most part, especially as you get older, when you tell somebody, this is what it is that I want to date, I want to do whatever, I'm looking for a real relationship, and I feel that us having sex is us moving towards that. And they usually, in my experience, can't speak for no one else, because I'm a pretty open person, like, and kind of put things on the table. Whether you can deal with them or not is up to you, right? That's just who I am. the men that I've dealt with have been pretty honest in return by saying, yeah, not really looking for that. Or, okay, I hear you, but this is what I'm looking for right now in this moment. Or this is how I'm going to receive it. Or, you know, you usually get an affirmation that you're on the same page, or you don't. And I think by not having those conversations, that's really where the need for a lot of this, well, if you wait, maybe he won't hurt your feelings, is because you're not having the right conversations in the first place. Like, you're not really being very clear and open because you're afraid that if you say, I want a relationship, the R word, commitment, the C word, is going to, like, make a person run away. And maybe that's what you need, is to just say it. Mm-hmm. And if they're with it, they're with it. And if they're not, then let them go, no matter how much you like them.
Well, yeah, you're on to something there. That's when you have to be in a point in your life where you're not to get, you know, really deep, but you're whole and you're fine whether someone's there or not, you know? Like, they can come or they can go, but you have your, like you said, that conversation needs to happen very early on, and you have to be willing to accept whatever that person says, and that person has allowed you to make that decision whether you want to stay when they say they don't want anything serious. And us as women have to be prepared to, if that guy says he's not looking for anything serious, guess what? That guy probably is not going to change his mind in 90 days. So you need to be at a place where you're able to walk away and be okay with that. It's all about being okay with it. Like, okay, I wasn't, you know, and that's not necessarily saying that you weren't the one. Like Shan has said, what she keeps saying is, like, about the time, and the time just was not right for you to be the one for that person, in a sense. That has no indication of, like, what type of person you are, or that you're not a good woman, or this and that. That person was just not in a point in their life where they were able to see those good parts of you, in a sense. So that right. What you said right there is that's the key thing that we need to have. We have to not be afraid to have those conversations and to get – it's not even rejected. It's either they're ready for it or they're not ready for what you're ready for, and we just have to be okay with that.
Right.
We're going to read it as rejection.
I totally agree with that.
Most people are going to read it as rejection. I mean, let's just keep it real. Like, when you meet the person that tickles your fancy, you know, makes your day a little bit easier to get through, like, when – if that person was to say, look, before I sleep with you, like, look, I'm looking. I mean, I don't even know why it has to come down to the point where you're sleeping with them. Like, I think if I'm not looking for a relationship, I've not looked for a relationship and fell in one. Just because the person I met really did it for me. And that's what I wanted, even though that's not what I wanted, right? And then I've been looking for a relationship, and I haven't found it, right? Like, so I think, but the point is that when I go in the beginning, before there's even a topic of sex or sexual chemistry or whether or not, like, I'm willing to lay up under you or whatever, I'm pretty honest. This is what I'm looking for. So if you're not with that, I understand. And I'll pay for my dinner.
Right.
Like,
no, right. You still can since you asked me out, but...
Yeah, we'll still have
a
conversation.
Yeah. Nah, I'll pay for my own dinner because I don't want you thinking I owe you anything. No waitress come. All right, you guys ready? It's two checks, thanks. Two checks, thanks. Once my everything on me, everything I bought, like I ate, thank you. Just put that on my check. Well, no, I got it. It's okay. Like, this isn't going anywhere. I don't want you to waste your money. But thanks for dinner. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just.
I mean, you gotta think, like, some of these young girls. I know they're not having these conversations, so that's why they're like being, what's the word? They're getting strung along by these guys, and it's like they didn't have that important conversation. Like you said, the conversation should happen before any kind of sexual spark start to fly. You should have that conversation, like. This is what I'm looking. Even if you just tell the person what you're looking for, and then they can say, you know, say what they're looking for. And like I said, you just gotta be okay with it. Like, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Another one will come along. Yeah. They're a dime a dozen. Like, I know. I feel like I feel old because I really do believe that saying now. But you know, I know I've been young too, and it's like people have said that, and I'm like, oh no, it's just that, you know, that one person, or, you know, where you're hurt. But
right.
You know, they really do come a dime a dozen. Like, you can walk outside, and you might get two of them looking at you. Like, it's just.
You gotta be okay with.
My grandma said when your mama pushed you out, three other women was pushing out another boy.
Right.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I just think it comes with, I won't even say age, because I've always been told I was very mature, even at a young age. I just think it comes with experience. You have enough lessons, you make enough mistakes, and then you can be real to yourself on what you want and, you know, set your standards, and you just lay it all out to the other person, and you let them know this is what I want, this is what I'm looking for. And like you all said, they either accept it or they don't. So I just think it just comes with experience and wisdom and growth and just, you know, failing enough times at it to say, hey, you know, I'm going to do it differently the next time.
Right. I also think that people forget, like, you know, the whole, a lot of people's goals are to get married or get in a long-term established relationship. But, you know, when you're looking at these people that you, even Steve Harvey, for example, like, these people didn't wait 90 days before they were getting their groove on. Like, you know, like, there's a method to the madness, I'm sure, but I'm more than positive, as it's already been stated, a lot of it has to do with timing, meeting people in the right time, in the right space, right? Because you can have a relationship with someone that, by all intents and purposes, could work, but it's not the right time, so it doesn't. You know, and there are times where you're with the wrong person, and the person that you should be in a relationship with, or you know it would be better with, right? You're with the wrong person, you're unhappy, and it's just wrong time. Like, okay, now you're single, right? While I'm in this shitty relationship, and now I can't even date you because I'm still trying to figure out what's happening over here. Like, everything is all about, like, finding the right time, and I get that the 90 days is about giving yourself enough time to figure out what it is that you're doing. And I'm, again, not opposed to that. But I really do believe in owning who you are, what your personality is like, where you are when it comes to your sexual behavior and attitude. And maybe when you get to a place where you're at mentally, emotionally, and when it comes to how you deal with your sexuality is in a healthy space, like, all things will fall into place. So it'll be a lot easier for you to weed out people, whether you had sex with them or not, because you're just like, yeah, I don't want to do this. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be involved in that, or I'm not taking calls from a person that's doing X, Y, and Z, and it's still okay. And I don't think getting to a commitment in today's age is wrapped around whether or not you had sex with them.
Totally agree.
Yes, I agree. What was your statement again about the marriage part? Were you saying that you think that everyone, that's, a lot of people think that that's what everyone still wants, to have the long term relationship, marriage? Or were you also saying that not everyone wants that as well? Some people are not. You get what I'm saying?
No. No, I was saying that, you know, ultimately people want to be married or be in a long-term relationship. Some people don't want to be married anymore. But, you know, that is the ultimate goal. But realistically speaking, statistically speaking, most of those people did not wait 90 days or any waiting specific waiting period before they got with their husband, their wife, or their long-term partner. They did what felt right, whether that was date one, date two, or 6 days in, or waiting until married. Most of those people did not wait for marriage.
Yeah, because some engagements even now come out of the blue. It's like they were dating. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think the person was seriously like dated multiple people, and then they just like chose the person. It's like, oh, so they were, because you just never even know. And not saying that you have to know who everyone is dating, but a lot of it just, and maybe that's just it's just a statement where it seems like if someone is at that point where they're going to be about to be fiance and engaged, that it's kind of known that they're dating. But I've seen some lately where it's like, it's just out of the blue, like, oh, I didn't even know they were dating. Not, not saying that I should have known, but it just, I don't know, like I'm saying, it just came out of the blue, it seems. So maybe they were dating, like you said, dated multiple people, and then they just decided, oh, this is actually the one that's the right one for me or something. I don't know if it's, like you said, a right or wrong answer. I don't know, whatever works for you.
Yep, I was going to say, however, you know, you feel, what makes you comfortable, what tickles your fancy, and, you know, if that's 90 days, if it's 60 days, if it's 2 days. Just all depends on what's right for you and your situation and what you're comfortable with doing.
And like Angela said, to just, you have to own up to it too, not be ashamed of, you know, like, this is what I'm doing and this is working for me. Because here in America, we always have, like, these standards of things of how we're supposed to do things. And it's like, that may not work for everyone. We're not all made out of the same cookie cutter, in a sense. It may not always work for everyone.
Right. I definitely agree. What's good for the goose is not always good for the gander. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. I definitely appreciate both of you joining me for this conversation about waiting before commitment, or, you know, I just want to say, like, regardless of whether you choose to wait or not, if you want to be celibate, I say go for it. If, you know, if abstinent, if you want to do it on the first date, hey, have at it, please be safe. I think ultimately, and I will keep saying this, you need to just be responsible emotionally and not just, like, use a condom. Mm-hmm. I think we all need to own a little emotional responsibility and not just put it off on someone else and their intentions. Because if we own our piece, it becomes a lot harder for someone to hurt us or to use sex as a tool to, I guess, hurt our feelings or to get something from us. That's really my take on it. But we'll be back in 2 weeks on our regular day of Sunday. So tune back in. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.